Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom. I'm with Lotus as usual. You guys know the whole deal. Lotus, we've been going through some of the things that we've kind of talked in and around on the show, but have never actually devoted an entire episode to.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of covering zones and stuff like that, which we can always get back to, but we had quite a few requests. So, like, it seemed like, you know, if people were interested in these, we would kind of divert into doing requested things. So why not?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And we've had some pretty good requests so far.
Right. I don't know that this one was requested. I don't remember a specific request for this, but in thinking about some of the kinds of requests we get where people are like,
I was going to say, hey, this one gets brought up a ton, pretty much, is yeah, kind of what it is.
Right, right. Okay, so the topic is the Thalmor. And, like, the Thalmor come up a lot. They show up in multiple games. The organization's been around for a long time. They're a big part of Skyrim. A lot of people have played Skyrim. But
they've evolved quite a bit from how they started, which we'll get into.
Yeah, yeah. But we haven't done an episode just on the Thalmor, which is kind of I mean, we've done so many episodes, and then it dawned on me, and I was like, wait a minute, we haven't done one just on the Thalmor. And I messaged you. I was like, what do you think about doing an episode on Thalmor? And you're like, wait, we haven't done that yet?
Yeah, I know. I literally was like, there's no way. And I like skimmed through some of the things. I was like, holy crap, we really haven't? This is unreal to me that we didn't devote an episode to like the Thalmor.
Yeah. So we haven't. So I figured, hey, let's do it. And we're going to go.
So now we're correcting that.
Yeah, we're correcting. We're going to go all the way back to like the origins of the organization, what happens over the different eras of the world, and then what they become, which is the version that most people are thinking of when they think of the Thalmor. Even the Thalmor in the second era are different. It's the same name, but the organization has kind of a different role. And then what they become later is much more sinister than what we see
and,
in ESO.
Yeah, much more sinister and much more radicalized. ESO sheds a lot of light on the Thalmor in the second era, obviously with ESO and stuff like that. But they definitely seem, we were talking about this beforehand on how to like describe it. And it's like they're much more, I don't want to say refined, but they feel more like a government agency as opposed to like a nationalist group, except with these weird ties to their ideology type of deal, which is, it makes them pretty unique and kind of scary in some ways that they relate to real world wars that have happened. So.
Yeah, all of the best fiction, especially fantasy, does this thing where it gives us a lens to see a make-believe world that then makes us turn back around and see our own world in a more, I don't know, knowledgeable light because of the similarities and differences. So here, let's get back to the, we're going to talk about it. We're going to go through each of the eras and what the organization was established originally to do, and then eventually what it became. But we have to go all the way back to early days. And we're talking about the Altmeri, not Aldmeri, Altmeri with the T, right? And the origins of the Somerset Isles and their beliefs about who they are, what their purpose is, where they came from, religious perspectives, all of that stuff. So we're going to cover all of this, and I'm going to be reading through the article on the UESP, friends of the show. Thanks guys. Great. They're the best wiki for Elder Scroll stuff. And I'm not just saying it. It legitimately is. This wiki is amazing. Yeah.
I was going to say that don't pay any mind to the fact that they totally support my other show as well.
yeah. You guys are together on that other show.
I was going to say, they pair so well with the Imperial Library, who don't sponsor us because they're just great.
That's true. Yeah. Great people, great all combo. Around. Wonderful community. All right. So let's talk about the first Altmeri Dominion. It says here, the Thalmor began as an obscure Altmeri council within the government of the Somerset Isles that was tasked with safeguarding Altmeri heritage. So right off the bat, they were about safeguarding their heritage. And as we know, the Altmer migrate to the Somerset Isles, and then they become the Aldmer, and they go through these divisions, and the Aeliads break off, and the Kymer break off. There's this whole history with the elves all kind of going about and splintering off of this original group. So it makes sense that there would be an organization that would be founded on the Somerset Islands in order to preserve the culture and the history and the places that they came from. This is something that's very normal among most human civilizations, is like, hey, let's not forget our past. So that's where it starts off. And then it goes, with the ascension of Irenne to the Altmeri throne and the establishment of the first Altmeri dominion in the second era, 580, the Thalmor's role was expanded to become the executive arm of the Alliance, a bureaucracy that managed the dominion's day-to-day affairs, investigate and enforce Dominion law, and liaised between its various local leaders and factions. So it goes from being like the Heritage Foundation, the like, this is where we are, this is our history, let's not forget it, to an actual like governmental body.
Yeah, they definitely become, it's funny, it's like your local like town hall or libraries suddenly becoming like, okay, no, actually, we're going to be involved in some decision making nowadays. It's like, right, weren't you just keeping the histories?
Yeah. It's like the federal government has like an official museum organization or something. And then they're like, you know, we could use you to help manage and investigate law and sure that, you know, the different factions are communicating according to the belief systems that we hold to be, you know, foundational for our heritage. You can kind of see the connection there.
No, for sure. And it's just like, but it is an interesting shift that they go from, that they really weren't started that way.
Right. It's a position that grew and heck, I mean, you look at world affairs, look at the way that our governments are generally in the West are kind of this balance between conservatism and liberalism. And there's this like swinging back and forth. Well, this is a conservative group because they're founded in the history of the people and who the people have typically seen themselves as being. And you can see how that would then grow out to be, okay, well, these are our beliefs. These are our traditions. This is what we believe. And so therefore we find that important and we want to make sure that this is something that we build our laws around, that we build our communities around. You can see how that kind of gets extrapolated into that.
Absolutely.
So then it says, the Thalmor's inner circle served as Irenne's personal advisors and included such notables as King Eridan, Cameron.
Aridin. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's spelled weird.
Good luck on pronunciations. I suck at these.
Right. Of the Bosmer and Lord Goresh Ri of the Khajiit, as well as a number of the other Bosmeri and Khajiiti nobles who were included largely as figureheads. So just like any leader, they have their like council, their established other important people that they surround themselves with, and the Thalmor Inner Council was part of that. So again, it makes sense.
Right.
So not too crazy.
Natural progression.
Right. Not too crazy yet. Yeah. We're going to have, they're now in this, like these three groups are all together, the Bosmer, the Khajiit, and then now they're like, you know, all working together. And yet it makes sense. Irene wants to keep part of her perspective on the history. This is who our people are. This is traditionally what we stand for. And this is, you know, it sets kind of a foundation. Makes sense. Some organizations that existed prior to the Thalmor being elevated into a governmental position were later controlled by or turned into direct divisions of the Thalmor. Two examples being the Fists of Thalmor and the Divine Prosecution. So now we can see that this is growing to become like it's as if their authority is expanding.
And not to judge a book by its cover, but anything called the Divine Prosecution immediately starts throwing some red flags.
Right. Or the Fists of the Thalmor. All of a sudden that this feels a lot more aggressive.
Sure. Yes. That's a good way of putting it. It's much more aggressive feeling all of a sudden.
Right. It's less about like remembering our past and making sure that we make decisions with this understanding of who we are, and more about forcing our perspective on others.
Right.
Like, you can see how that can that pendulum can like very easily swing from one side to the other when you feel like remembering our past is no longer enough because people are forgetting it. So now we need to force our perspective on other people.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, not great. Not great. All right, so let's move on. During the Second Aldmeri Dominion, formed in the Second Era, 830, the Altmer reconstituted the Thalmor as the new government. New governing body of Valenwood. They claimed that they had the authority to create this government on behalf of the claimant to Valenwood's throne. Cameron Anaximenes, I think is how you pronounce that.
Love it.
Whose ancestors had, I should purposely say them very wrong so that people can like comment about, well, no, it's pronounced like this. Anyway.
People can correct my pronunciation all day and I'm not going to really argue with them.
Right, right. So Cameron Anaximenes, whose ancestors had signed an ancient treaty with the Somerset Isle. So basically they're like, okay, Valenwood's throne should really be ours, and we're going to make this claim, and the Thalmor are now going to be the governing body over that, which also kind of tracks this idea of like their culture is different from our own, but we are going to extend our culture and force them to be more like us.
Right.
As Valenwood, do you prefer Valen or Valen?
I always say Valenwood, but...
Yeah, but you're also from Boston.
I hear it constantly both, but I always say Valenwood.
Yeah, you also say other words that I don't say because you have a Bostonian accent.
That's valid. that also might somewhat relate to it.
So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just... it just means that I'm not always 100% sure if that's more common or less common. Yeah, we could all just be wrong. We'll say Valenwood. Valenwood previously possessed no true unifying government. The Thalmor purported to maintain order in the region to uplift their Bosmer brethren. Okay, so there's always a warning flag when your justification for forcing other people to do things is to uplift them.
Yeah, we're getting kind of weird nationalistic at the expense of those around you.
Right. It would be like doing your best friend's, I almost said breast friend, that's funny, mm-hmm. Your best friend's makeup and being like,
breast friend can there. Be your best friend.
Yeah, right. But you do their makeup and then you're like, now you're pretty.
Right. And it's right? Just like, is that a backhanded compliment?
wait a minute. What was I before?
Yeah, it's like, what do you mean now? It's like, all right, thanks.
Right. We need uplifting? What? It goes on. In reality, the formation of the Thalmor was far from an altruistic gesture. No duh. The Altmer...
No.
Really. The Altmer desired to control Valenwood because the region along with Southern Hammerfell harbored various pirate groups which had long threatened the Somerset Isles. I love the piratey stuff that happens on the southern, like the southwestern parts of the map.
Yes.
And this idea that 100%. You've got like, you've got these like Bosmer and Khajiit pirates, like especially cats being pirates is always funny to me because they don't like water.
Yes, that is a valid point.
So, all right. So they've got pirate problems. That's really why they want to control them. Fed up with the constant pirate attacks, the Altmer hoped to secure the shores of Somerset for good by denying the pirates any safe haven from which to attack them. A significant figure with the second-hand Aldmeri Dominion, Andal Crodo, enforced a policy of non-intervention in non-Dominion lands, which few of the Thalmor sought to oppose. So they were like, cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're benefiting from it, you're also less prone to seeing the problems with it, I feel like. So the fact that it's like, oh, yeah, this is good. They're not seeing it at the expense of those around them, maybe quite as much. Mm-hmm. That's really my only guess. So it's like, oh, yeah, things are getting better. It's like, well, yes, for you.
Right. 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 Also, I think I switched Altmer and Aldmer earlier. So if you've been yelling,
that's going to happen.
If you've been yelling, it's the other way around. Aldmer is the older name.
Altmer it always is the newer name. So it's one of those things. They sound so similar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things I have to remind myself about because words, yeah, as if you haven't been able to find out, if you haven't noticed this yet about me on this show and any of my other shows, words don't stay in my brain very long. So concepts, great. Words, not so much. It's actually flipped. Anyway, the Thalmor was dissolved a short time later when Tiber Septim brought Valenwood into his empire. So we've talked at great length about Tiber Septim, the conquering of the empire and all of that. It makes sense. The empire basically takes over these regions and ends whatever political strength that these organizations originally had. Basically, they're like, okay, things are not going to work the way they used to. We're going to define how things are going to work. And so these organizations more or less just disappeared.
Right. Or yeah, that was kind of an iron rule at that point where it kept a lot of other groups in check for a bit.
Right. But as you know, it's very hard to destroy an ideology. It's one thing, yes, to destroy individual people. It's another thing to dismantle an organization and saying, okay, well, this doesn't exist anymore. At least not in the way that it did previously. But an ideology is very, very hard to get rid of.
Right. Especially when people have adopted parts of it, even if it's not the whole thing.
Right. And on top of that, just because you are saying officially this organization doesn't exist anymore doesn't mean that people aren't going to meet in private in order, right, to try to further the original goals, or at least what they believe to be the current goals of that organization.
Exactly.
So, and again, this is another thing that you see in the real world. Like, it's very, very hard to just completely dismantle something. It's one of the reasons, one of the terrible justifications for genocide is, well, if we just kill everyone, then nobody will be left with that ideology.
Right. And it's like, that's not necessarily how any of that even works. So, like, the principle that this horrible act is predicated upon is already faulty. So
right,
like,
right. And on top of that, even if you were to kill all of the Altmer, it doesn't mean that the ideas would disappear. You'd have to, like, that's why book burnings happen and book bannings happen, is in order to try to fight back against an idea. But those ideas can still exist. They can still linger. You're not going to find every document. You're not going to find every person who remembers what that thing was and passes on that knowledge in the future. It's very, very hard to kill an idea. So now we get to move into the third Aldmeri Dominion, because of course the empire doesn't stay, you know, all powerful forever.
Now they weaken a bit, just a skosh.
Just a skosh. That's just a skosh. So we've moved now from the events of the second era in ESO into the third era. And we get to talk about the Oblivion Crisis. So sometime prior to the Oblivion Crisis in the third era, 433. So there's about 400 years that pass from Tiber Septim to the Oblivion Crisis. The Thalmor resurfaced as a radical and xenophobic political movement that espoused the absolute supremacy of elves over all other Tamrielic peoples. Now tell me, based on the descriptions of the past and where this organization originally came from, Lotus, is this any surprise?
No, this is this again, we're talking about, you know, how things connect to real world. Now you've got the whole part, like this ideology that we were just talking about was kind of like squashed down with the group of them. And then, what a surprise, they become more radicalized.
Right, right. They are now the absolute victims of the empire.
Right. So they get more radicalized. And then when they are able to start to form back again as the empire weakens, you have an exponentially more radicalized version of the thing that you tried to destroy originally. And as Weather puts in chat, and so it begins.
Yeah, and thus it begins, LOL.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it makes sense. I mean, again, this is something you see. Like, you take a group and you try to extinguish them, and they don't forget that. And then they harbor that, and then they villainize the group that tried to extinguish them, probably for good reason, because they murdered and destroyed in order to achieve the things that they wanted to achieve. So from
right.
the Altmer's perspective, from the people who are now radicalized, the Empire is, they're the villain. They're the villain of the story. They took their lands and they kicked out the people from Valenwood. They didn't ever really get Somerset Isles, but they stomped all over things. They led a war for years. They brought the Numidium into it.
I was going to say, it's really like, it's kind of hard to argue when it's like, well, when reviewing history, we brought in a giant death robot. And
right.
That's how
right.
we quelled our enemies. It's
right.
Like, oof.
Yeah,
it's
look at
hard
it.
To argue that that's not somewhat nefarious.
Yeah, look at it from the Thalmor's perspective in this instance. A man rises to power, wields a weapon of mass destruction
yeah.
against them on their home soil, claims that they now control that area, murders through war and all these other atrocities many, many peoples, probably millions of peoples. I don't know if there's actual numbers on this, but creates all of these atrocities. And then after all of that, the people who were following this man claim that he is now a god.
Yes.
That would be super insulting if you were an Altmer, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, like, who the divines are. You know who the Aedra are. You claim to have descended from them. And now somebody does terrible things and claims they are among them as a god because they did
right,
terrible things.
This is one of the things, is they are, like, part of their thing is that they are direct descendants. And this, all of a sudden, it's just like, yo, I'm also one of them descendants there. It's
yeah,
just like,
yeah.
No, you've just been teeing off on us for a while and taking all our stuff. So yeah,
right.
little vengeful. I could definitely see a little bit vengeful over that.
Yeah. No. So it kind of makes sense. Now, I'm not saying either side is justified in wanting to destroy and murder the other.
Absolutely not.
I'm not saying there's any real justification for terrible actions. But what I am saying is you kind of understand where they're coming from, at least.
Well, and that's the point of this, is to understand, like, how they formulated. Like, spoiler alert, it's hard to pick sides in the Elder Scrolls, because everybody is a different shade of awful.
Right, right. Yeah, and Hersine in chat puts, it's funny, Hersine saying this, Talos is a god, change my mind. And that may or may not be true, but ultimately it doesn't matter, because it's what matters to the Thalmor is their perspective of what is true, right? Like, and this is another real world thing. The actual facts of reality usually have way less to do with what motivates us to action than what we believe reality is, or what we want reality to be. Those are the things that spur us to action. Those are our ideologies. Facts generally don't motivate people as much as emotional beliefs,
which is awkward.
But it's part of human nature, right?
It's 100% the way things go.
It is. And sometimes that's for good. Like, sometimes that makes good results. Sometimes it makes terrible results. It's just the nature of being human, you know?
Well, that's exactly it. It's a very, like, it's a very humanized thing, where it's like, people are not generally rational
right.
in a lot of situations. It takes an extra level of patience and thoughtfulness to think that out, rather than go with, like, your immediate reaction, because most of the time you will have a reaction. And in this situation, the Thalmor start kind of going on the, like, okay, this is the natural reaction to this, so, you know, they can play into it. And you'll get followers that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're giving them, these are defeated people who are being given a purpose and being told that not only did their enemies blasphemy their gods, but they themselves are descended from gods, and that they and can take that back.
Without getting like overly historical, like historical relevance to this, this has a lot of strong ties to Germany following World War One, going into World War Two. Like, it's like got a lot of parallels about how like the idea was like, man, we had to play a lot of reparations for all of this. And in this situation, it was like, man, we got wailed on pretty hard. It's like, we've not been in a good place for a while. It's kind of, I like the feeling that, hey, maybe we're not so bad. This is the, you know, maybe we do deserve some stuff.
Right.
Except if that's misdirected.
Yeah, it can be wielded for bad ends by an individual who does not have the same intentions.
Just, as it was mentioned, not just altruistic. Right. Then it starts getting sketchy. Yeah.
There are other similarities with Germany. For example, before, I believe it was before Germany invaded Austria, they got a document was signed off by 96 of the most prominent religious leaders and theologians. These would have been Christian religious leaders in Germany, mm-hmm. saying that they believed it was God's will that Germany take back Austria. Which, right, like with it, generally that's how this stuff plays together, is some form of, it's not just a religion. Don't take this as like, oh, Tom hates religion or Christianity or something.
Oh,
like
no, this, it's, and it's this the, is not it's to a wielding, on anything. This is just historical context to real life.
It's like, the wielding of an ideology in order to motivate the populace and getting those people on board with the reasons why you're doing terrible things. It's the justification of the ends justifies the means, that sort of
this
thing.
This is just, the thing that I really like about the way the Thalmor is designed, there's a lot of theology and psychology behind how they rise to power, which I find fascinating in the series, because I think it's really well done.
Yeah, right. Yeah, as we've been revealing as we go through this, absolutely. So, so what happens after this is, for years, they were largely ignored, but in the aftermath of the Oblivion Crisis, they exploited the confusion by claiming credit for the salvation of the Altmeri people, which greatly enhanced their influence. So the Thalmor themselves claim that they helped push back the gates of Oblivion in order to save Altmeri society.
Right.
And this is another one of those things where you claim, oh, we did this and nobody can prove you wrong, or nobody even really cares so much about proving you wrong as just being like, oh, thank you so much because we're in dire
things
need.
Things are better. I'm happy.
Right. Things got better. It seems like you helped us out. We'll believe you. Okay. So in the fourth era, year six, the Thalmor incited the Argonians to mount a massive uprising against Morrowind and the Empire that was known as the Ascension War. Black Marsh was lost to Enzileel? Is that how you...
Zaxleel.
I always mess this up, too. With the Thalmor, two lost... what influence they had over the Argonians. In the fourth era 22, the Thalmor overdrew the Altmeri monarchy and seized control of the Somerset Isles, renaming them Alinor. So they're wielding even more and more power as time comes
by. But again, this is a situation where they kind of make a connection to another group who... It's to no one's surprise, I would think... Morrowind has not treated the Argonians very politely for a long, long time.
Yeah. They're treating you like you're lesser, like you're slaves. Why don't you join with us? Yeah.
Yep.
Makes sense. Taking advantage of the poor and the needy in order to wield more power. Like that.
Right.
Which happens. Throughout, I mean, that is the story of human history. It's like leaders
and
taking advantage of the poor and the needy.
It's like. A lot of the Zaxleel might like to them that actually is beneficial because we're getting this what we need. They might not know about any of this other stuff going on with them just yet type of deal.
Yeah, right. Then Valen was brought under the Thalmor's control in the fourth era 29, creating the third Altmeri Dominion. Now we have this again, it's the same groups, all kind of not exactly the same groups, but another similar groups. You've got the Bosmer, the Altmer, but then also now the Argonians, all kind of together in this new group. And then more stuff happens, but I've gone on too long. We've got to go thank our patrons, and we'll be back because it just gets better from here, or worse, I guess, depending on your perspective.
Yeah, much worse.
All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, welcome to our new patrons, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you'd like to join us for ad-free episodes, for a bunch of those early episodes that are only available on Patreon, for joining us for patron chats, all sorts of things like that. In fact, our patron chat is coming up next week, but we can't do it on Thursday because that's Thanksgiving here in the U.S. So instead, right, we're going to do it on Tuesday night, the 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern. So come join us for that if you are signed up at one of those tiers. And welcome to our newest patrons, Will T, Stefan G, Colby C, and DJ Dex. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I hope you're enjoying all the stuff you're getting. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hircine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much for all of your support, and to all 136 of you. Thanks for being here. We really do appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. And if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us some words on there. We'll read them out. Drop us a 5-star review on Spotify or whatever other podcatcher you're listening to this on. Or, you know, just tell your friends, share the show with other people. If you've got people you're playing ESO with, or just, you know, love Skyrim or interested in the lore, any of that stuff is absolutely super helpful. So thanks for all of the support. And I think that's it. Oh, there is something else. There is something else. Lotus, did you know Patreon's doing this new thing where you can gift subs just in time for the holidays? So
no, actually,
yeah, it's a brand new thing.
Should have probably mentioned that beforehand because I actually had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a brand new thing.
Sounds
it's
like a terrible ad read that I'm like, oh my god, that's so surprising. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, it's a real thing. So like, if you have a friend who would love having a subscription or would love to be signed up in order to be on one of the tiers, you can decide what tier they get. You can decide how long you're going to sign them up for. So if you want to make sure they stick around long enough to get one of the t-shirts, or join us in a patron chat, you could sign somebody else to join us in a patron chat, bring a buddy with you, that sort of thing. You could totally do that. Or if you haven't been able to afford a subscription, but somebody else could gift it to you, you could tell them, hey, gift me a subscription. All they have to do is create a Patreon account. It doesn't mean they have to sign up, but once they have a free Patreon account, they can
you can have a Patreon account just to have one.
Right. Right. And then they can just gift you a subscription, which would be super cool. So it'll help us out, but hopefully it would add some more people to the community and all of that. So that's an option, but thanks, everybody, for the support. Let's move on with the rest of the show. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so we get the reformation of the Third Aldmeri Dominion, or the formation of the Third Aldmeri Dominion, but the reformation of the Aldmeri Dominion. And then we get this. The Night of Greenfire occurred in the Fourth Era, 42, when the Thalmor attacked Altmer dissident refugees who had fled persecution in Alenor and were living in the city of Sentinel in Hammerfell. According to a Legion officer claiming to be an eyewitness, there was an explosion of magic in the refugee quarter, where Thalmor mages were attacking the Altmer dissidents, who, in turn, were resisting with magic of their own. So it makes sense. A bunch of Altmer fighting each other, shooting spells at each other. They're all very magic-y, right? Running to the scene with other legionnaires who were stationed there, the eyewitness found the entire refugee quarter a smoking ruin and that everyone had been slaughtered. This night appeared to have been part of a broader effort by the Thalmor, whose agents harassed the refugee communities in Sentinel and Balfiera, where somehow involved and were somehow involved in elsewhere funded insurrection groups and were connected to a pattern of murderers where the victims were all of mixed blood or had associations considered by the Aldmeri Dominion to be, get this, unclean. We've got racial cleansing happening.
Yep. Now we've gotten real radical.
Now we're getting real racist. In the Fourth Era, 47, Prime Minister Hyrim made a secret trip to Blackmarsh to negotiate with the, how do you say this again?
Anzalil leaders.
Anzalil. That word is always weird.
Yeah, Anzalil, Saxalil, they're all very.
Yeah.
Anyway,
leaders, supposedly to propose an alliance against Thalmor. against the Thalmor. Now they're like, okay, Argonians, we need to go against the Thalmor. Intendant Merrill of the Penitus Oculatus had Colin
Oculatus. I've heard that one enough in game. That's the only reason I know how to pronounce that one.
All right. Oculatus had Colin Weinbin investigated if the Thalmor had summoned Umbriel, but he could find no evidence. Umbriel is a whole other thing. The books, the novels, we talk about this on occasion, goes into Umbriel, all of that stuff. We're not going to do that here. Maybe that's something else we cover in a future episode. The Elsewhere Confederacy voluntarily dissolved and reformed the ancient kingdom of Anakina and Palatine in the fourth era, 115, which then became client states of the Thalmor. So now you've got the reorganization of Elsewhere to the original two areas as they were originally known historically, and they've now, as the Khajiit, signed up with the Thalmor. So their power is growing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely, they're sort of collecting those that don't have the, like, that have been downtrodden already. They're suddenly being scooped in, like, and it's becoming part of the, like, hey, things aren't great for you either. I bet they'd be better if you worked with us. And it's like, oh no.
Yeah, let's all group up and hit back at the terrible masters who have been abusing us.
If things
us.
Aren't good, maybe they'll be better with us. You won't know until you try it.
Right. Then we get to the Great War. It is said that of all his enemies, Emperor Titus Mead I never managed to defeat the Thalmor. And it would be Titus Mead II who would pay the price. When Titus II inherited the imperial throne, the Thalmor instigated the Great War in the Fourth Era 171 by delivering a series of ultimatums to the Imperial City, then presenting the head of every Blades agent who had been stationed in the Aldmeri Dominion when Titus II refused their demands. Basically, they murdered all of the Blades, who were these officers for the Empire, right? Like, they are the people who protect the Emperor, but they also do some of the shady spy stuff. Cut off all their heads and sent them back to Titus II. After 4 years of bloody war, a stalemate was reached. The emperor was forced to sign the White Gold Concordat, essentially giving in to the Thalmor's original demands. One of the Concordat's terms mandated that the empire relinquish large tracts of land in southern Hammerfell to the Dominion, which outraged the Red Guards and resulted in the secession of Hammerfell from the empire. So now we have a situation where the Thalmor are wielding all of this power. They end up in the stalemate. They end up with this document that is signed where they are able to make demands, which then piss off the Red Guards, who feel like the Empire is, like, leaving them, and they leave the Empire. So now they're getting the Empire to divide, which is leading up to a lot of the stuff that you probably are more familiar with, especially from Skyrim, because you're like, oh, this is why the Empire is in such a dire situation by this point in the Fourth Era. Any thoughts on that, Lotus?
Yeah, not as much, just because it's kind of a continuation of the problem that's been slowly arising. and it's very efficient manipulation of the situations they're given, which is, I mean, tactically very intelligent, and how to get people to follow your cause. And along the idea of this, it was brought up by Weather in chat. So I guess before we get too far from it, maybe we should rewind ever so slightly.
Yeah, go back. That's fine.
Okay, so without getting too far ahead of ourselves, along the lines of this manipulation tactic, so it does tie in, but, like, so there's this thing called the Void Knights, and thanks to Weather for kind of bringing up the fact that we did gloss over how, like, the Khajiit kind of started to jump on board with this, which, as we were talking about with kind of, like, the racial thing, like, why'd they jump on board so easily? And during the Void Knights, which was a situation where the moon goes missing.
Right, yeah. So super weird.
Right, which we can actually do, like, I don't know if we need a full episode on the Void Knights, but essentially the long and short of it is, with the moon missing, and as we've talked about, Khajiit have such a strong tie to the lunar cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it defines when new Khajiit and which first stock they are and all
right,
of that.
Right,
yeah.
Moons are sacred to the Khajiit, and them going missing is very problematic, obviously, and it's not a good omen. So when they essentially things go back to normal, essentially, they take credit for it. The Thalmor, just the Thalmor, we did that.
Just like the other stuff that they're taking credit for. Oh, yeah, we pushed back the Oblivion Crisis. That was us.
We pushed back the Oblivion Crisis.
We fixed the moon. That was us.
Again, we fixed the moon. Don't worry. It's okay. We got you your moon back. And since the moon is back, and on top of that being the, okay, so now they have their basically religious background back intact, and there's, you know, you have these magical, magicka heavy race, I guess would be a good way to just put, like, you know, high elves and stuff like that. Okay, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they have, you know, mages strong enough to do something, be involved with this. So it's like, oh, well, I guess they brought back the moons.
Right.
You know, maybe we should side with them. So it was just like, talk about like a perfect seizing of an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a pattern
to a political push for them. And as a result, you now just you basically just swayed the Khajiit to join you. So that's just why that happened. We did kind of just mention that they joined them just for context for everybody, because it is kind of a cool story. And that is obviously super condensed.
Sure. But it plays into the theme of the Thalmor just manipulating each event in order to put themselves in the good light, in order to manipulate people in need, in order to join their cause.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So let's jump back forward to the Red Guard. So fighting continues in Hammerfell, but the Red Guards eventually force the Dominion to negotiate, and the Second Treaty of Strathmakai was signed. And this stipulated that the Elmeri forces withdraw from Hammerfell, and this was signed in the Fourth Era 180. This led the Red Guards to believe that the Concordat was a mistake, and Tidus II had overestimated the Thalmor's strength when he signed it, because basically they got them to negotiate, so why couldn't the Empire get them to negotiate?
Why couldn't the Empire?
Right.
And just throwing it out there, don't fight Red Guards. They are real tough.
Right. And maybe the Thalmor knew that. Maybe they were the ones that they were worried about. Right?
It does not seem like, if you're going into martial combat, it seems like the Red Guards are not probably a very good choice to go against.
Yes. So another term of the Concordat was the outlawing of the worship of Talos and the right of the Thalmor to enforce that ban within the Empire. So this is, if you're playing Skyrim, if you've only ever played Skyrim, you're like, why is the whole worship of Talos so difficult? Like, why do some people think it's okay and some people don't? Why is the Empire not supporting it? Like, that's why. And if we end up with an Elder Scrolls 6, which is focused on the Red Guards in Hammerfell, if we have some questions about some of this stuff, like their connection to the Thalmor, that's also explained here. So that's the foundation for that. Then we end up with this section. This is called River Quest. Circa 4th Era 180, members of the Thalmor, led by Justicar Arenande, arrived in RiverQuest and other surrounding towns and villages, where they stated they were investigating for Blades agents. Henrik and the warrior worked to hide their identities by leading the Thalmor on suicide missions and giving them false leads, with creatures such as bears and undead aliens killing Thalmor soldiers as they fell for these tricks. The Thalmor were also tipped off on the location of a temple of Talos and intended to kill the worshippers there. However, the warrior discovered the location of the Talos worshippers and warned them before the Thalmor could go to them. After this, the warrior also managed to kill a Thalmor messenger before they could relay information on who the hidden blades were. Eventually, the Thalmor discovered the identity of Henrik and had him killed, but the warrior avenged him by killing Justicar Arenande. And you might be like, okay, what is this? Seems like a side thing. It's absolutely a side thing.
It's 100% a side thing.
Yeah, this is absolutely a side thing, because it's from, and we talked about this last week, about how little the Blades mobile game actually plays into the greater lore. Well, this is one of those little side things about the Blades and this conflict with the Thalmor from the mobile game. So if you're wondering, like, was there any plot going on with the mobile game? Well, a little bit.
There is. It's referenced.
Right.
There was a plot that was referenced.
Right. And it's kind of referenced there. But the thing that most people are more familiar with is the Skyrim Civil War. So in the aftermath of the Markarth incident in the Fourth Era 176, the Empire was forced to crack down on the worship of Talos in Skyrim in order to maintain the White Gold Concordat. They permitted the Thalmor to operate inside Skyrim and suppress Talos worship when it had previously gone largely ignored. So basically the Thalmor are like, hey, we had this deal that you're not supposed to be worshiping Talos in the Empire anymore. Skyrim's in the Empire. How come you guys aren't maintaining this? And so the Empire's solution to that was, well, we can't really main, we're kind of overstretched, but if you guys want to go make sure that they don't worship Talus, go for it.
Yeah, that's not great.
Which is not
you
great.
Just enforce our laws for us. It'll be fine.
Right. And you can see why the Nords would be totally pissed off by having this foreign entity come in and tell them what they can and can't do.
Yes.
And the fact that the Empire was just kind of like, yeah, that's fine, I guess.
I mean, it's fine. Like, what are we going to do to stop them? We're not doing our best right now.
Right. Right. It goes on. This persecution was a notable factor which led to the Stormcloak Rebellion. Again, no duh. By the fourth era, 201, the Thalmor were well aware that Talus was especially revered by the Nords as both a god and a folk hero, were using the Concordat as a justification to carry out a campaign of persecution against Talus worshippers from their embassy in Northwest Skyrim. Their branch in Skyrim at this time was overseen by Elenwyn, and they have been known to secretly capture and imprison any Nords who questioned their doctrines or beliefs. As of that time, there were reports indicating that Thalmor Justicars or Judiciars.
So I was going to say, so I always say Justicar or did say Justicar.
Uh-huh.
I've heard it pronounced in game Justiciar.
Justiciar openly expressed.
So I'm going to assume they know better than me because I used to say Justicar, but right. The game Justiciar. Pronounces it Justiciar.
Justiciar openly expressed hostility towards the Nords, with many individuals advocating for a genocide agenda. It is believed by important figures within both the Dominion and Empire around this time that the Thalmor were preparing for a second war. And that's where our story of the Thalmor ends, and why there's so much speculation about what's going on with them and what else they're going to end up doing if we continue the timeline into Elder Scrolls 6.
Right. And at this point, they have amassed a lot of power. Like, they are now a formidable threat.
Yeah.
To basically just any opposition, not even a specific opposition in Tamriel. It's just kind of like, yeah, now we're going to run the show. Like, and this is what we want to do, and it's become an actual issue if somebody is going to fight back against it at that point.
Right. And you can see how the Empire has just kind of like rolled over and let them do whatever they want.
Yes.
The Nords are not happy about
it. Very lame
it.
At this point.
Yeah.
Like they really just don't have the capacity to do much to fight back.
Right.
They're pretty much just, ever since the White Gold Concordat, they have been beaten down pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we speculate about the next Elder Scrolls game all the time. We've been doing this for years, but I'm 99.9% sure that the Thalmor are going to be a part of that story.
It's interesting. I would largely agree with you, especially
maybe not like the primary focus of the story, but
maybe not
just like in Skyrim, a significant portion of the story. Like the primary story in Skyrim is Alduin and the dragon's return. Right. But then you have the secondary story about the Civil War, and then you have this connection to the Thalmor and why they're important having to do with it.
Overall, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think it would almost be interesting just because sometimes the time jumps like can be big. A lot of times they're close together. But one thing I do love about this series is they don't always show you everything.
That's
sometimes
true.
You
That's
just true. Get a recounting of major events that happen.
Like, okay,
in
so
between.
Are you saying what if we jump another few hundred years into the future
and
Thalmor is the Empire?
Either this Thalmor is the Empire or something happened along the lines. So like, okay, did they make a push for power, but then got blindsided by this other group? And now this new group ended
like,
up taking
like,
power.
Like they like push into Hammerfell down. And the Red Guards like reclaim their ancestry in sword
they,
singing
like,
and have pushed them
back.
It was
like a huge setup. And it was just like, oh no, the sword singers actually were, you know, here this whole time and cut down all of the Thalmor, totally embarrassed the Empire. And
that
now
would,
it's just like a Red Guard.
That would be freaking, that would be freaking amazing. If the Red Guards were like, hey, we get the political climate here. We're just going to be quiet. We're just going to hold back and build up our power and refine this ancient skill that we have so that when we do have to fight back, nobody's going to expect it. That would be really cool.
That's what I'm saying. So it would be interesting if we jump past this conflict, because I feel like, and I'm not disagreeing that I think this will probably be where it goes. The main thought seems to be that since they have been set up like this, that they will be the next like threat right. going on.
Right. It does seem like we're getting to this climax of them being the big bad. Do you think, if that doesn't happen, people will be pissed off that it doesn't happen? That we don't actually see it on screen?
So here's my thing. I think one thing about the storytelling within Bethesda games, I'll make this blanket statement and people can disagree with me or agree with me if they want.
Everyone always agrees about blanket statements. Creates any controversy.
They have simplified the storytelling in Bethesda games recently, and it's a critique that they get quite a bit, and they kind of tried to adjust it a bit with Starfield, I feel like.
Okay.
But it didn't necessarily expand as much as they seem to want to have it expand, especially with Shattered Space expansion, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it still feels fairly surface, and they also don't really just the explanation for things are kind of just
I feel like they would not stray from that writing style that they've been trying to do, where it's a little more obvious, straightforward, which doesn't necessarily mean bad, but it does mean like a little bit predictable in a lot of ways. The series, I feel like prior to that, was not so much that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I have to wonder.
I think it would actually kind of pay homage to the roots of the series pretty well if they were to just be like, yeah, so we were building this. Here's basically some of what happened. And now the next game actually is the consequences of this whole huge mega event that you didn't participate in. You didn't matter to this event.
But
lots
of
stuff in this series happens without you needing to have your input.
That would add a lot of depth. Also, the only other games we've had since Skyrim that continue an existing story are Fallout 4 and then Fallout 76, which is like a prequel.
Right.
And I could not have predicted those storylines. I would not have been able to predict the storyline of Fallout 4.
Okay.
It makes sense when you look backwards on it and the Brotherhood has become more extreme and they're more like this. And there were hints about synths in Fallout 3. And so they've expanded that story what synths are. But I wouldn't, if we were doing this podcast a decade ago.
Would you have said something like
that? And you were like, what's going to happen in Fallout 4? I probably would not have, definitely would not have predicted the storyline.
I
could not have predicted the storyline in 76 either.
Sure. So I think maybe what I mean by that is maybe I didn't. It's that the stories are a little more straightforward in a direction.
Yes. Yeah. And they're less windy.
Right. And I feel like that would open up a lot of gray area, which the series excels in, of all this, what actually happened during this? Because we never experienced Red Mountain blowing up and nuking Vardenfell.
Right.
It just happened in between games.
Right. So Morrowind was stronger because those crazy things happened in the past and it was the reaction to those things that we were seeing play out.
So it's just I think it would just be an interesting twist going forward if they didn't. It seems like that's where we're going. It would be quite the misdirection if that's not where we're going. We just pick up on so anyways, all this happened while you were gone in the 20 years plus.
Oh my God. I don't think you're wrong. I think that could happen. I think there will be something significant that happens between Skyrim and Elder Scrolls 6. There will be things that we do not experience.
They're also a great antagonist, though. So it's hard to argue that that would make for a pretty cool war scenario in game.
Here's counterpoint to that is Bethesda really loves having factions that are not just black and white, but are gray, right?
So very much so.
Having an absolute, even Alduin is kind of gray. He's supposed to end the world.
I was going
to
say, the big thing is, did we screw stuff
right?
Up?
We've talked about that in the past.
Yes,
so
it's was that not the right call? We have let this Kalpa end, or did we really screw things up by dragging this Kalpa on? Is it now outside the realm of what should be happening?
Right. Aside from Molag Bal and Mehrunes Dagon, those are typically the darkest, most just obviously evil. We've talked about some other danger being maybe worse, but we don't really know. But so the ones that we do know, those are the most black.
Right. And even Dagon, we've brought up the fact that Dagon, the idea is destruction that provides creation. So it's even you have somebody that the Daedric Prince is literally just blowing stuff up, but it's but also it's the right. god of creation. So it's like, well,
right.
yeah.
You can't
so
have new growth without the forest fire that clears the way for the new growth, right?
Exactly. Like, so yeah. it's like oddly just always almost gray. Molik Ball's really yeah. the only one that I'm not sure there's a lot of gray
area. right, right. Yeah, he's pretty just flat out obviously
just
terrible.
Messed up, yeah.
yeah, yeah. But it's a good question, though. Like, would they allow the Thalmor to be as... But it may be an interesting way to play out a story. What if they did this? What if there's a very strong argument to be for the Thalmor at the beginning of Elder Scrolls 6, right? Like the beginning of Elder Scrolls 5 in Skyrim, there's this whole, like, you're sitting there, they think you're one of the rebels. And so I feel like the Empire is about to behead you. So the impetus there is probably you should side with the rebels because the Empire seems like they're bad guys right now.
Yes.
Right. Because of just the situation you're in that moment.
Not work with the Empire to
right.
start.
To start, it nudges you that way. And then you talk to people and you kind of go, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to go that way, or I am, or whatever. What if the beginning of Elder Scrolls 6 nudges you more in the direction of, no, the Thalmor are actually the good guys here?
Right. Like, what if what if you get the other perspective? It's like, yeah. hey, okay, here's... Or it's like, it turns out that once they actually do get into power, they become altruistic or something weird.
Right. like, or that we like, just see a depth to that. We get like this behind the scenes stuff. And maybe there's just more evidence that they're doing the right thing than right. we realized. Or at least they
seem
to.
What if they're correct
it.
And they actually right? are like, okay, well, no, we needed to become like separated from our mortal beings to go back with our ancestors. And it turns yeah. out, I mean, the world of fantasy, maybe that's actually what should have happened, and we botched it by right. preventing
right maybe know, the mannish races Eldrin are destroying amok. The world by just making a bunch of terrible decisions and misunderstanding what the Aedra wanted them to do, and right. the Thalmor so are like, just trying to course correct this whole time.
Yeah, that would be a weird misdirection for like how they're painted, but it would be fascinating if they end up being shown in a very different light than we've been led to realize so far, because so far it doesn't look great.
Right, right. And that would be fun. That'd be a fun little twist, a little flip. I'm sure no matter what, and somebody said this in chat, was it Weather
oh,
Dragon?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, no, Weather...
Some weather people are going to get pissed off no matter what.
Pissed no matter what.
So nobody's it doesn't... I wouldn't.
Some people are going to be mad about the next game no matter what, and they're going to say, I beat it in 12 minutes and I want my
whatever,
money back.
Whatever. Yeah, but like, I wouldn't design the game around being fearful of what is going to piss people off. I would design the game around what is going to be a really interesting, engaging story. So hopefully that's where they're going. We'll have to see. But there you go. We've wrapped up the Thalmor, why they're important, their history, all of that stuff. I hope this was informative and entertaining for all of you. Lotus, you have anything going on you want to share?
No, we're finalizing. Actually, by next show, I believe we'll have the exact details for the plan for our Extra Life, which will be the weekend of December 6th, which is coming right up on us, but planning's obviously been much harder for me this year. Gonna have a lot of fun. UESP is gonna be there supporting us with giveaways like we always do. I'll have some of my own giveaways. And, you know, even if you just want to come hang out with us, watch us play some stuff, I plan on playing Daggerfall because I'll have some time dedicated to it, so I'll be able to get back to it. And then obviously some Elder Scrolls Online, but it's just kind of a long day of Elder Scrolls related fun for a good cause. So feel free to come by, hang out with us. It'll be me, Ark, Promethean. I believe
if I can be involved, I will. I still have to figure out
right.
what's
and
going
I know
on
you're
with
still working on trying to figure it out. yeah, Crown Esso is actually going to be joining us too toward the end. I actually think Dave, who's the USP founder, he's going to join the chat for a while and stuff, so it should nice. Be a fun time that weekend. Nice. for a good cause. So feel free to come join us for all that. Even if you can't donate, that's totally fine. I understand money does not grow on trees. So
absolutely. Like, absolutely. That's part of it is just having fun and getting the community together. You know, like
exactly.
if you can donate to a great cause, please do. But if you can't
absolutely.
And you just want to be part of the fun, absolutely.
Yeah,
join
it,
in.
It makes people sometimes don't realize that it makes it enjoyable for us to do because of that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It makes it like a lot easier to go and continue on with this stuff. So it should be a super fun time. Like I said, I'll make sure to bring the details to the Patreon chat next time and let everybody know. But yeah, so that's my next big project on the horizon.
Very cool. I hope I can be involved. We'll have to see what happens with jury duty and how exhausted
For sure.
I am
hey,
with whatever is going on. going on with that. Or if I have to catch up on a bunch of episodes over the weekend of things I can't do because I'm stuck in jury duty. I don't know. We'll see what happens. This will be the third time. And it's just like, okay, haven't I done my civic duty, guys? Haven't I done now? Nope. I guess not. But yeah, come join my stuff. You guys know where my other shows are. Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Fallout Lorecast, the Mass Effect Lorecast. Those are in this show are my current shows. I've been brainstorming some new things to maybe do in the future. So we'll have to see. I'll keep everyone posted. RobotsRadio.net for stuff. For live streams, twitch.tv/RobotsRadio. I jumped into Stalker 2 yesterday on stream for a little bit. I don't have a regular schedule, but I do. I always enjoy being able to hang out with the community. So please come by and visit me if you happen to see me live. It makes my day to just be able to, you know, hang out and chat with people, especially because I work from home by myself all the time. So being able to actually like have people to talk to while playing some games really does make my day. So I know I don't stream all the time, but if you do see me, that means the world to me. So thanks for doing that. And Lotus and I will be back next week with our patrons on Tuesday night. So come join us if you can do that. And I guess we're coming up on Thanksgiving week. I know some people will be on vacation and stuff. So hope you have a wonderful week. Yep. And we'll see you next time. So until then, you know.
Oh, wait. Oh, we need a page.
Random page. You're right. Oh my gosh.
Other than having to do our two times one. And there's your scene, the Lord of the Lord of the Random Page here. To keep
Lord of the Random Page. Oh, I always forget. I almost prepped it ahead of time and I was like, nah, I'll remember. And then I always forget. All right. So here we go. This one's a real short one. I hit the button. Online. This is from Elder Scrolls Online under the creatures section. Theos. Theos is a hot pepper bantam guar who can be found in the master bedroom of Sergius Sosia's manor in Necrom. He's one of those little fire baby guar guys.
Chicken guars.
A little chicken, a little fire chicken. I call them fire chickens because I got fire one that follows me around. Yep, there you go. His name's Theos.
A nice simple one this week.
He just hangs out. Yep. He has, and this is a fun little stat. Guess how much health he has?
One.
One. Yes, one health.
How do you know you play too much Elder Scrolls Online? How much health does this bantam guar have? One.
One. Just one. That means like if he stubs his toe, he's just dead. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, he can only make it down one step at a time. Otherwise it's lethal damage.
Right. Oh, I ate something bad. Dead. I farted too hard. Oh, dead. He shoots fire out of his butt. He's like a fire chicken. Anyway. All right. There you go. Stay safe out there if you have a fire chicken. Don't accidentally explode him in your house. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards or just being part of the community or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon,
log in or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.